I am so thankful for the grace of God. The Bible declares him to be the God of all grace. This is Grace Church, by the way, if you didn't know that already. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I want you to notice he says that it's the gift of God. Amen. Grace is unearned favor, undeserved favor. I've heard a lot of weird definitions. It's amazing how preachers and teachers sometimes, they want to be novel. They want to have the newest, latest thing. And, I knew one pastor. I actually really admired the guy. I thought he was a great pastor. But he said, now, he'd seen somewhere in a definition of grace, it had the word power in there somewhere. And so he said, we can just take the word grace out and stick power in. Wherever it says grace, just stick power in. Don't do that to the Word of God. But the actual Bible definition, if you use a Bible dictionary, the definition for grace is unearned, undeserved favor. It is a gift. Amen. But I think a lot of people really miss it that, yes, we can't get into heaven except by God's grace. It's by grace we're saved. But there's so much more that's included in that salvation and in God's grace. So much more that is available to us. You know, our lives are filled with all kinds of blessings that are just part of the grace of God on our lives. I mean, has God blessed you in any way? Let me tell you something. That is grace. That is absolutely grace. It is certainly not anything that we have earned. And even though we know that we're saved by grace, it seems like in the culture that we live in, it's really hard for us to get a hold of this truth that you can't earn it. You can't earn the blessings of God. I think in our country, we pride ourselves on, y'all catch that, pride? We pride ourselves on saying things like, I earned it. All these lazy people out here wanting a freebie, I earned it. Now listen to me. We need to realize, yeah, you worked for it. You earned it in wages from man. But God owes us nothing. We will forever, I say this often because it needs to be said in the culture we live in. So much pride, and it will get you nothing but trouble. God will never owe us. We are forever in his debt. It all is grace. I know that offends the pride of man, but it doesn't matter what we've done, how much we do, how many years. He will never owe us. We will always owe him. That's why it all has to be by grace, his unearned, undeserved favor. Now, if you look at my life, you see a whole lot of grace. You see a whole lot of unearned favor. I'm not ashamed about it. He treats me way better than I deserve. See, people think, how in the world did he ever get a wife like that? Undeserved favor. Some people have thought over the years, how could a guy like that ever get to be the pastor of such a great church? Undeserved blessing, favor on my life, that's how. Now, here's a really sad and dark place to be. Some people feel like that they deserve better. Oh, that's a terrible place to be. How miserable, how frustrating to be where you just feel like, you know, God should do you better. You deserve better. I want you to know that is that old works mentality, thinking that you've earned something from God. And I want you to know that is not a way to get anything from God. He doesn't owe you, and he never will. I know it bothers some people that others seem blessed, and maybe they feel like that they're not as much as they ought to be. But I got to tell you, we need to testify and tell others. I've even seen this now in our culture now, where if you talk about being blessed, that God's just blessed me, they think that's arrogance. No, it's arrogance to think that you just got it all on your own. It's being humble to acknowledge that it's God, that it's his goodness and his grace on your life. I agree with David. Goodness and mercy are following after me all the days of my life. Now, if you don't think that about yourself, I hope that before this night is over, before this message is over, that you will hear the word of the Lord, that goodness and mercy can be following after you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We're not going to talk about knowledge tonight, but are you growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, it's not enough for us to just get saved and, well, I'm going to heaven, I guess that's it. No, we need to be growing in grace. Growing in what? Undeserved, unearned favor. There's more. It ought to be increasing in our lives. But it seems like for a lot of believers, like I said, they kind of fall back into that mindset of trying to earn things from God. And I want you to understand that it's counterproductive to us receiving blessings from God to think that we're earning something from God. We need to always remember it is only by grace that we even have a relationship with him, that we can pray and he hears us. It's just the grace of God. But because of that grace, there's favor on you. Did you know God favors you? He's not against you. He's for you because of grace. And you need to know that you can grow in that grace. You need to know that you can increase in favor with God. Luke 2:52, it tells us, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now, this is when, you know, Jesus was just 12 years old, and he had stayed in the temple, and he's, you know, in the temple teaching, basically, at 12 years old. He's in there talking to these religious people, and his parents finally realize he's not with the group. They go back and find him, and the Bible tells us something interesting in verse 51. It tells us that Jesus then was subject to them. He submitted to his parents. And then verse 252 here, it tells us, and he increased in favor with God and man. Now, if Jesus growing up as this young man can increase in favor with God and man, do you think that we ought to also increase in favor with God and man? It's available to us, and we need to see. You can have the favor of God on your life in increasing measure. I believe that's going to become clear to you tonight, that we can grow in that grace. And it's really obvious if you just look around. I mean, we've all seen it. Some people just seem to have a lot of favor on their life. Things just go good for them. I'm not talking about that they got a perfect life, but you can just see that things are work out for them. Things are going good for them. There's this huge dose of favor on some people, and some people, not so much, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Jimmy. Some of you live in a real world. We all have seen it, where some just have this abundance of favor on them, and some, well, not very much. You can have an increase of favor on your life. We need to know that we have the favor of God on our life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. He's the one that paid the price for us. John 1 and 17 tells us the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, apart from Jesus, our very best efforts will always fall short. That's the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Listen, it doesn't say your sins are as filthy rags. That's a given. That doesn't even need to be said. It says our righteousness. The best we can do is just filthy rags. It's only by the righteousness that he gives us as a free gift because of his grace. We receive unearned favor by faith. We read it a few moments ago, Ephesians 2:8. By grace, unearned favor, you're saved through faith. How do you receive it? You believed? That's it. And I want you to understand that if you're going to increase in favor in your life, you got to believe. You got to believe the blessings, the promises of God. You got to believe that he's just that good. We get all wrapped up in this works mindset, and we still focus on our own goodness instead of on God's goodness. We need to be believing for his favor on our life in increasing measure. I believe that there's a higher level of favor that we can walk in than where we are right now. Jesus increased in favor with God and man. So can we. Romans 3:22, it tells us the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. How do we get that righteousness? Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how many righteous people do we have here tonight? Come on now, it's not a trick question. Let me phrase it another way. Same question, just saying it a different way. How many of you are right with God? I'm not seeing who's not. I'm just looking for hands that are up, all right? Some of you are like, I ain't right with God. I shouldn't. Don't raise your hand if you're not right with God. Come to the altar tonight, right? But I didn't say how many self-righteous do we have, because our righteousness stinks. But he made us righteous by faith, through the gift of righteousness. And here's what that means. In Psalm 5 and 12, it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." How wonderful is that? You see, when we are righteous before him, he surrounds us with favor as with a shield. It's all around us. See, we need to believe for that. The favor of God to be on our home. Be around our cars as a shield as we're driving down the freeway, that God will just give us favor. Amen. Favor in our workplace. Favor in the marketplace. Favor in ministry, whatever we do for the Lord, that the Lord will just bless it, give us favor. We need to believe for that. Don't expect things to go wrong. We live by the word of God, not Murphy's laws. You know, if anything could go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Good grief. When we get saved, we need to get rid of that mentality, because God shows us favor. He's good to us. We'll say it again. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Some of you need to change your mind tonight. Just decide you're increasing in favor with God. But every day we need to believe the Lord is going to show us favor. And we got to receive it by faith. You believe for it. You don't deserve it. See, some of you thinking, why would he do that? I don't deserve that. No, you don't. And when you know that, that helps. Because as long as you think that you can earn it, you're not going to get it. Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Listen, we got some big sinners in here tonight. I want you to know that God's grace is bigger. It abounded much more. There's an abundant supply of God's grace. We got to believe that that grace is on our lives every moment, every day. And the more we believe it, the more we'll see it. It's just like, listen, this is the way faith works. It's not I'll believe it when I see it. No, you believe that God's favor is on you and you will see it. Next, if we want to see an increase in God's favor in our lives, we have to be humble. I talk about this one a lot because like I said, pride is just so prevalent in our culture. James 4:6 says, but he gives, I'm going to wait till it's, there it is. He gives what? More grace. You can increase. He gives more grace. More is available. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. More grace. More unearned favor. How? You got to stay humble. It's not ever that we've earned it. I think one of the worst mistakes that happens to believers sometimes is, you know, they have the favor of God on their life and the Lord's blessing them and things begin to fall into place and, you know, they have some success and some victory in their life and all of a sudden they fall into pride. They start thinking, look at me, look how good I'm doing. Instead of giving God the glory, they think it's about them. And I want you to know, pride will always bring destruction. It'll always bring trouble in your life. He resists the proud. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, sometimes, you know, we start sounding like that Pharisee who stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. Watch out. We got to watch out for the older brother syndrome. You know, when the prodigal son comes home, as Jesus tells this story about this man coming home and the father comes to meet him and he treats him as a son again. He restores him as a son, kills the fatted calf. Well, the older brother, he stands outside. He wants no part of this celebration. In fact, he's all bent out of shape. He resents it. He says, this son of yours, he wasted it all, and here I am. I've been here serving, doing what I'm supposed to do. Do you know this is where a lot of believers really miss the grace of God? Is they judge others, and they resent it when God shows other people grace. Instead, listen, if you want the grace of God on your life, if you want it in increasing measure, then you need to keep yourself humble. Don't allow yourself in pride to judge somebody else and you think, well, I deserved. See, that's what happened to the older brother. He started thinking, why is he getting a party? I deserve. I want to tell you, it'll not only keep you from an increase in, oh, it'll bring you trouble. It'll set you up for a fall. When we're truly humble before God, it's not just something we pretend. When we're truly humble before God, we submit ourselves to Him to do His will. We do things His way. When we're proud, we do things our way. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Proverbs 3, 33 and 34. I'm going to read it in the NIV. It's just a little simpler. It says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. See, there's no favor on the wicked. He mocks the proud. The righteous, the humble, receive blessings. They receive grace. There's a lot of believers today that want to just claim the blessings of God and claim the favor of God while they're unrepentant and won't obey God. and they take the grace of God and turn it into a license for sin, where they just say, it doesn't matter what I do, how I live. That is not in the Bible anywhere, and that is not what grace means. Grace means that he shows us favor that we could never earn. We could never deserve it. But it does not mean that we just shun the Lord's commands and just do things our way. That's not what grace means. And I want to tell you, that is such a deception that keeps people from receiving the grace of God and increasing in favor. I don't mean, I'm not judging anybody. That doesn't mean they're not going to go to heaven, but I'm just telling you, there are blessings that they're missing out on when they're not obeying God. And some of you, you're thinking, now, Pastor, you just said that we couldn't earn it. That's right. When you obey God, you didn't earn something from God. Good grief. When you do what's right, that doesn't mean he owes you now. It's always his grace that brings blessing on you. Listen to this, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, there's a new way that people like to translate this, and you know, maybe it's not actually translated. I don't know. It probably is in some of these weird paraphrases they've got now, but this is the attitude, though. No good thing will he withhold from anybody. That's not in the Bible. It's those that walk uprightly. We're supposed to do right. See, grace doesn't mean we don't have to live for God, serve God, and obey God, and walk uprightly. It's certainly not dependent upon us being perfect. If it was, then none of us would be a recipient of God's grace. None of us, not a one. So I'm not talking about being perfect. I am talking about being phony and being insincere. But when we truly try to live for God and serve him and keep his commands, I want you to know that brings an increase of favor on our life. We need to understand this. Unearned favor is available to everybody, but God does not bless disobedience. You can't be living in disobedience and have an increase of favor on your life. Let's just talk about the Ten Commandments a little bit, even though there's some nutty preachers saying that we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. How about the first one? You shall have no other gods before me. Does anybody think that you can just have some other gods that you put before him and worship these other gods and that you're going to have increase of favor on your life? Well, that's just dumb. Does anybody think that we can just go around spouting the Lord's name in vain and using it like profanity and yet have an increase of favor in our life? No. We just disregard the Sabbath. It means nothing to us. Go find something better to do. That's not going to bring favor on anybody's life. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Remember, I mentioned about Jesus in Luke 2:51, how he subjected himself to his parents and it brought an increase of favor. But how clear it is in that command and that promise, which is repeated in the book of Ephesians. For people that want to say, oh, that's Old Testament. It's in the book of Ephesians. If young people want an increase of favor on their life, they honor their father and mother. It's going to go well with them. That's favor. Amen. I just want you to see that. You see, it matters that we obey the Lord and we live right. It doesn't mean we earn anything. It's still God's grace. But it brings an increase of favor when we obey the Lord. You see the grace of God so clearly even in the Old Testament. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. This is such beautiful verses here. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." He offers forgiveness, and then he says, if you are willing and obedient, you're going to have the very best. That's favor. If you resist and rebel, you're going to have destruction. Old Testament, Old Testament. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 27, 24 through 27. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." There is a blessing that is on those who hear and then put it into practice in their life. It can't be any clearer. And this is our Lord Jesus, the kind and gentle Savior. I want you to know He loves us. That's why He says things like this. When you build your life on His teachings and His commands, you're going to have a favor on your life, on your home, on your family. Amen. Now, just to illustrate this tension here between grace and the truth that we have to obey God, let me tell you a little story that illustrates how to increase in favor with God. Two brothers grew up. Neither one of them amounted to much. Neither one of them seemed to be able to hold down a job. They both acquired a huge amount of debt. They were irresponsible and foolish. But they had a rich uncle, Uncle Bill. Uncle Bill had a big software company. He had billions of dollars. Uncle Bill decided he was going to help out these two nephews. So he calls them to come to his office, and he told them that he was going to pay off all their debts. He was going to give both of them a job. And he gave them a job description explaining everything that they were supposed to do. Well, neither one of them deserved this. Neither one of them had any redeeming qualities that would, you know, incline him to do this. It was just an act of grace. He didn't owe them anything. So a few years go by, and one of the nephews, he hasn't really followed through with his job description. He hasn't really done what he was supposed to do. But just being gracious, Uncle Bill let him keep his job and continued to pay him a salary, even though he didn't deserve it. The other nephew, he really changed. He tried to do everything that he was supposed to do. And one day, Uncle Bill calls him into the office and he tells him, "I'm going to give you 10,000 shares of stock." Now, that nephew, did he deserve the 10,000 shares? Did he earn it? No. He was already paid a nice salary for his work and what he was doing. This was just his uncle giving him more. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He didn't even deserve to have the job in the first place. The one brother, he's still getting his paycheck, even though he doesn't deserve it. And now this brother, he's getting a tremendous amount of money. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. But his uncle saw that he was doing what he was supposed to do. And I just want you to understand, yes, we're supposed to obey God. And if you want to increase in favor with God, yes, you always want to obey him. God doesn't bless disobedience. You know, Jesus tells a parable about a man, several men, but who were entrusted with a certain amount of money. And the one that was faithful, that did what he was supposed to do with it, then he made him ruler over much. You see this principle over and over in the scripture. Grace doesn't do away with disobedience. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Now, I just want to go back way before, even before the law, thousands of years before the law. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 through 7. Abel kept flocks, Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. We don't really know exactly how they knew. It doesn't really explain that. But somehow they knew that God showed favor to Abel because of his offering, but not to Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Why didn't Cain receive favor? He didn't do what was right. Why did Abel? He did what was right. Now, most of us, we know the rest of the story, that Cain was envious and hated his brother because of it, and he killed him. Abel, he got killed. But I can assure you that Abel, being the first person known to go to heaven, if you had asked him, hey, you want to go back? He would have said, nope. There's an increase of favor in our lives when we do what's right. A lot of people live their life, I'm talking about believers, making compromises, acting like it doesn't matter, and they're missing an increase of favor in their life. Want an increase of favor? Acknowledge it's all Jesus. You want an increase of favor? You got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Want an increase of favor? You got to keep yourself humble. Don't let pride get in. If we want an increase of favor, we got to obey. We got to do what's right. Jesus says, I just want to give you a few examples. Jesus says, forgive. That's a hard one sometimes. But when we do it, it's going to bring favor on our life. Jesus said things like, if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And you got things like, be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's going to come right back on you. See, you have an increase of favor with God when you show mercy. In everything, give thanks. Let me tell you how to get an increase of favor on your life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the battle, you look for a reason to give God thanks. In everything, you give God thanks. Let me tell you how you can avoid having an increase of favor on your life. Complain. The Lord hates it. You see, there's all kinds of scripture, commandments, and simple things that will bring favor on our life if we'll just obey the word of the Lord. And it does, is, say it one last time. We're not earning anything. We're just putting ourselves in a position before the Lord where we have obeyed him and done what's right, and he pours favor out on us. It's grace. But oh, how we open that door when we, you know, in Malachi it talks about the windows of heaven being opened over those who obey the Lord in the tithe. Windows of heaven, that is an increase of favor when we just obey. When we just do what God wants us to do, we're putting ourselves in a place where we can have more of his favor on our life. And I want you to know, I mean this, it's worth so much more than money or anything else that this world has to offer, to have the favor of God on your life in increasing measure. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.